House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February 26, 2016, the 15th day of the session. I thought yesterday was the 15th day. 15th day of the session, it says. Today is the last day for bills to be reported out of committee in the second house, and Monday, the 29th, is the last day for committee of the whole in the second house. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker, here. Baldwin, present. Barlow, here. Berger, here. Blackburn, here. Blake, here. Burkhart, here. Bird, here. Campbell, here. Kennedy, here. Clem, here. Connolly, here. Dayton, Edmonds, here. Edwards, here. Eklund, here. Escobel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparik, Kinner, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Moniz, Nicholas, excuse, Northrup, here. Paxton, here. Pelkey, here. Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, here. Summers, here. Steinmetz, Stubson, here. Throne, excuse, Walters, here. Wilson, here. Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, here. Mr. Speaker. Dayton, Escobel, Laux, excused, 57 present, 3 excused.
The prayer for today is offered by the Reverend Daniel Mays, representing First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ.
Please pray with me. O God, through the centuries, your people have sought you. From generation to generation, you have spoken through them. Speak through us now, and help us to be attentive to one another, that we might hear each other's opinions, that we might respect each other's differences, and that we might collectively seek to do the good of your people and this great state in which we live. Help us always to be mindful of those around us and those under our charge and those whom we serve. We pray all these things, asking for your blessing upon our time together. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
and it's great.
It's with great honor and privilege to welcome Senator Mike Enzi back to the Wyoming Legislature. Senator Enzi served in the Wyoming House from 1987 until 1991 and also served in the Wyoming Senate from 1992 until 1996. He was sworn into the United States Senate in 1997 and has been serving the people of Wyoming there ever since. He's currently chairman of the U.S. Senate's Committee on Budget, and serves as a member of the Committee on Finance, Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship, and Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs. Please help me in welcoming home United States Senator Mike Enzi.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I carry this with me all the time. It must be about 30 years old now. It's a bag I got when I was in the Wyoming legislature. And it still advertises for Wyoming well wherever I go. It's always a pleasure to be back here with you. I fondly remember my days in both the House and the Senate. And they're kind of the foundation of the work that I do right now. I appreciate having gotten to serve in these bodies. It gave me lessons that I've been able to translate easily into work in Washington and to get quite a bit done. I know how to pass a bill, and I know that unlike the legislature here where you're all sitting in your chairs and debating and that sort of thing back there, you may have watched our debate. If you're giving a speech, you're probably the only one on the floor. If there's anyone else on the floor, they're getting ready to give a speech, and they don't care what you're saying. So you have to do it one-on-one, and that's kind of what you have to do here, too. And you have to do it one-on-one here, and then you have to go to the other end of the building and do it one-on-one there as well, because you can't get anything unless you pass them both. And I learned that here. In my first 2 years in Washington, I was at a little meeting in Gillette. I'm just going to share a few stories with you today. And the governor was doing a town meeting, so I went out of courtesy because I happened to be in Wyoming at the same time. And the federal government had just declared that coal bed methane was a solid, was part of the coal. And so people who were getting royalties off of that were looking at paying back the royalties. And they were a little disturbed. So they asked the governor what he was going to do about it, and the governor was clever enough to say, well, that's a federal issue. Senator Enzi, what are you going to do about it? I said, well, I'll put in a bill. And somebody there was astute enough to say, wait a minute. You're in your first 2 years, and there's only 30 days of legislating left. How are you going to get that done? I said, well, if I don't put the bill in, I know it won't get done. So I went back to Washington. I put the bill in. I lobbied it one-on-one with all 100 senators and all 435 House people. And in less than 30 days, I got that bill passed. Now, thank you. Now, that just preserved from that time forward, though. It didn't take care of the people before, because you know the laws you pass, you can't go back in time to pass the laws. So it had to go to the Supreme Court. And one of the fun things there was to watch the justices ask their questions in light of the Enzi bill. And then they ruled that same way, so it got the problem taken care of. So that was one of my early things. What I can announce to you today is that gridlock in Washington has ended. Well, it's still sort of there, but we're making it work. And why? It's because we're doing the process. The process is what you do. You know, bills go to committee. You get to amend them in committee. Bills come to the floor. You get to amend them on the floor. They go to the other end of the building. They get to amend them in committee. They get to amend them on the floor. That's the process. This last year, we went back to doing that process. The year before that, we did a total of 14 amendments. That's all the amendments we were allowed in an entire year. And I believe the two of those were mine, and they passed. One of them was dealing with an early problem that I found when I got to Washington, and that's that we had 119 preschool programs. Now, preschool is really important because it provides a good foundation for kids as they go on through the rest of their schooling and get jobs. But 119 of them, I checked to see how they were different. Most of them weren't, and most of them had evolved into daycare instead of education, but at education prices. So I was able to get those down to 65 while I was chairman of the committee. Then later I was able to get that down to 45. That's where it is now. But one of those two amendments that I got passed was to consolidate that down to 5 and put them all into the Department of Education. I'm still waiting for the results on it, but it should make a difference. I've gotten to work on the education bill and was pleased that we could kind of turn that back over to you, get rid of the National School Board and have it handled where it needs to be, at the state level, at the local level, with the parents and the teachers and the administrators. And so yesterday I got to visit with the appointee for the new Secretary of Education. The last one quit right after he talked to me when we were passing the bill. He was hoping we'd do that in a bipartisan way, and I said, well, I think 87 votes from the Senate's pretty bipartisan. And he hung up on me and he quit. But we're appointing a new one right now. And one of the questions I had for him is, in light of all the work that we've moved back to the states, how many employees is that going to change in the department? And he said, well, we're going to shift those to some other areas. I said, I don't think there was anything in that bill that allows you to shift that to other areas. And I can tell you that I already did my homework from the budget, and I know that it was 227 employees we saved him, which is a lot of bureaucracy. But we don't do interim committees, and I'm in charge of the budget, and something I learned last year while I was doing the budget was that we don't go back in time. You do interim committees. You go back in time and you look at projects and programs to see if they still work. In Washington, we have an authorization thing. That's where you come up with these brilliant ideas and set up the way to fund them and what they're supposed to do and how you're supposed to be able to tell if they're doing that. And in checking that out, I found out that we had 260 that were out of authorization that expired. One of them expired in 1983, and we're still funding it. Another one in 1987, most of them before 2006. And how much are we spending on those? $293.5 billion last year. Well, I harped on that. I harped on it. And you'll be pleased to know that instead of 260, we only have 256 that are expired now. But we spent $310 billion now instead of $293. So they don't know how to handle money like you do. I am trying to get biennial budgeting passed back there, but it's quite a chore. Trying to get a balanced budget back there, but it's quite a chore. I've had some interesting battles back there. When I got there, I found out that we weren't getting our AML money, and I went to find out why, and they said, well, because there isn't any money in the fund. I said, oh, yes, there's a lot of money in the fund, and I have the numbers on it. And they said, no, you don't understand. That money is just bonds. We don't have money. And I was able to get that released a number of years ago on an annual basis until the... Thank you. But at one point, Senator Baucus noticed that for the highway bill that he could take everything over $15 million and put that into highways. Well, we were the only state that got more than $15 million, and they did that in the dark of night in the conference committee. And on our conference committees, when it comes to the floor, you don't get to debate, you don't get to amend, you get to vote yes or no. And it's a highway bill. Everybody in the nation needs highways. And so, of course, it passed. But we bugged the chairman and the of both the House and the Senate for 3 years, and this year we were finally able to get it undone in the highway bill. So... of course, I had to help them find a lot of money. This is the first highway bill in about 20 years that's been funded for more than 1 year at a time. We did 180 extensions of it in short terms. But you have a little bit of highway money to work with that way. Besides the education bill, we've worked a lot on health care, and I know you have too. We've designed a system back there that isn't working for hardly any of the states. And the president has recognized that parts of it aren't working, so he's done waivers. We've asked to just fix the waivers, and we haven't been able to do that. So at the beginning of next year, we'll have a huge task to do that so that you can do some things. One of the things that I also learned in the Wyoming legislature is that if you criticize people and if you yell at people, you're probably not going to get a lot done. And one of the places that's been helpful to me is in Greece. I went over and I got to visit with their finance director for Greece, which, you know, is in a lot of problems. People in Greece owe $26,000 in national debt, every person. In the United States, we owe $56,000 per person. But we have a little better economy, so we're not in the same kind of trouble yet. But the ambassador wanted me to tell them what they needed to do to fix their debt. I didn't feel real comfortable with that. So I took a little different approach. I said, you know, we have a huge problem with debt in our country, and here's what I'm trying to do. And as I listed out the different things, he took extensive notes and is now doing some of that. So sometimes it works better to tell people what you're doing on a problem instead of what they should be doing on a problem. This year, one of my goals, of course, is to get a biennial budget. And I'm gaining ground on that. Now, one of our problems is we're working with so much money. Not real money, but so much money. $3.2 trillion. I'm trying to get people to quit talking about trillions and translate that into billions. That's $3,200 billion. That sounds like a lot more than $3.2 trillion, doesn't it? Yeah. Saw a kid's T-shirt, and it said, please don't tell them what comes after a trillion. I'm trying to get them to split that up into two separate groups. We do 12 spending bills. No, we're supposed to do 12 spending bills. Instead, we do one spending bill a year. It's an omnibus. It's a single vote on $3.2 trillion, $3,200 billion. If we could split that up into two groups, we might be able to get them done and look at the details on them, and that's where we need to go. That's what you do. That's what you do so well, is you look at the details of the budget, and you figure out down to a level that we can't even imagine in Washington. And consequently, you're able to make logical decisions that make this state work. And I want to congratulate you for that, and thank you for letting me serve in this body and learn the things that I learned there, and you're all learning that, and it will make a difference for the state of Wyoming, not just when you're here, but when you're home. You're the leaders for this state, and I thank you for taking the time out of your life to do that, and I assure you, you will not regret it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Enzi, for your service to Wyoming, and we appreciate the update on your work in Washington. Representative Walters.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please, proceed.
Today, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce our doctor of the day, but before I get to that, I'd like to introduce a couple folks that are maybe even more important. First off, if I could introduce Charlie McGinley in the back of the room. And in the gallery is his mother, Diane, and then the doctor of the day holding Charlie currently is Dr. Joe McGinley from Casper, Wyoming. Please welcome them.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm privileged of the floor.
Yes, please.
I am pleased to introduce in the fishbowl members of this year's Leap into Leadership class as part of the Wyoming Women's Legislative Caucus program. If you would please stand and welcome them. Thank you.
Welcome to the House. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
I would just like to add that we hope to see some of the folks from the LEAP class move to dry land, get out of the fishbowl, and come up here and join us.
Yeah. Representative Blake.
Privilege of the floor, Mr.
Yes, please.
There's a constituent back there who's in that leadership class. She's also the grant writer for the city of Green River. Please welcome Misty Springer.
Okay. Journal committee report, please.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 25, 2016 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Steinmetz and Schwartz.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 198. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 47, Juvenile Sex Offender - Risk Assessment, Ayes 30, No 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 199, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a light committee number 01 from the House on Amendments to Senate File 36. The Senate conferees are Senator Case, Chairman, Senator Perkins, Senator Ross. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with the light committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses, signed by Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 58, Engrossed Involuntary Hospitalization and Treatment, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 60, Engrossed Public Health Nursing, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Moniz, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 95, Engrossed, Eye Care Consumer Protection -2, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, Dan Swanitzer, Edwards voted no, signed by Representative Dan Swanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 70, Engrossed, Off-Road Recreational Vehicles, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Eklund, Laux, Reeder, Walters, and Dave Swanitzer, signed by Representative Dave Swanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 72, 70 miles per hour speed limit -state highways, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Laux, Reeder, and Walters, Eklund, and Dave Swanitzer voted no, signed by Dave Swanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals Business and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 18, engrossed, competitive bid specification requirements, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Cannaday, Edmonds, Gay, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, and Walters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 39, engrossed, cease and transfer priority list, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation and a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Cannaday, Edmonds, Gay, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, and Walters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
Okay. We're now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 3. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 3 from Transportation, an act relating to veterans.
Senate File 3 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 4. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 4 from Transportation, an act relating to the Military Department.
Senate File 4 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next file for our consideration is Senate File 20. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 20 from Senator Peterson, an act relating to sales and use tax.
Senate File 20 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 28. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 28 from Minerals, an act relating to environmental quality.
Senate File 28 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next file for our consideration is Senate File 31. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 31 from the Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects.
Senate File 31 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next file for our consideration is Senate File 34. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 34 from Corporations, an act relating to fiduciaries.
Senate File 34 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the file be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next file for our consideration is Senate File 44. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 44 from Labor, an act relating to health care.
Senate File 44 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next file for our consideration is Senate File 62. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 62 from Senator Kinski, an act relating to alcoholic beverages.
Senate File 62 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the file be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next file for our consideration is Senate File 65. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 65 from Senator Case, an act relating to patent infringement.
There is an amendment. Chairman Zwanitzer, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1, the Senate File 65, and would ask for its favorable introduction. From the get-go, I would move to divide the amendment, Mr. Speaker. Lines 1 through 24 would be Division 1, and lines 25 and 26 would be Division 2.
Chair rules that is divisible. Chairman Zwanitzer, which division would you like to proceed on first?
Division 1, Mr. Speaker, if I could.
Okay, we're on Division 1 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 65. Chairman Zwanitzer, Dan.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, this is just a kind of a cleanup amendment overall. When you start dealing with statutes, deal with attorneys, you get some attorneys who come have ideas about how the statute should read. So Division 1 is really just kind of a cleanup. You'll see on page 2, lines 13 and 14, we're just making this in the present future tense. So the language would read, this is on patent trolling again, the language currently reads, is threatened with or has a lawsuit filed against the person that alleges. We're going to change the language to is threatened with a lawsuit alleging patent infringement. And so that's that section. The other ones are on page 4. On line 19, it currently reads, the person knew or should have known. We're changing that to the person knew or believed that the claim of patent infringement is unenforceable. We're also deleting lines 16 and 17 there on page 4, which currently states the person offers to license the patent for an unreasonable amount. We call that extortion, and that's in other places in the statute. Some people wanted to take that out of this bill just to clean it up. And everything else is just numbering. So if there's any questions on that, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, I would call for the question on Division 1.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I like the vast majority of this amendment, but the one question is the change to page 2 and line 13 and 14 are... Is the intent to say that you can get around the patent trolling laws simply by filing a suit and forwarding the suit to the person? I mean, it seems to me like it's a pretty easy mechanism to get around it if you're just going to say, well, I won't send them a demand letter. I'll just file the suit and send the suit notifying them of the patent infringement complaint. And you've done the same thing, but it falls outside the statute. And so I don't... Just wondering if the sponsor thought about that or if there was any discussion about that.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Mr. Speaker pro tem.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm going to go ahead and move to further divide the amendment and divide Division 1 into two sections. The first one being page 2, line 13 and line 14, and then the balance of Division 1, which is lines 5 through 24, would be the second division of Division 1, however you want to say that. But I would just, I think that first part changes the substance of the bill enough. I'd urge a no vote on that if we take that first.
The chair rules that that is divisible, so now... Lines 1 through 4 of the amendment are Division 1A. Lines 5 through 24 are Division 1B. And lines 25 and 26 are Division 2. Now, on Division 1A, Mr. Speaker pro tem, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And again, just quickly, my fear is you create a pretty big loophole in this thing because it simply eliminates the element of filing a complaint. And so if you just skip the whole demand altogether, you file your complaint, it's just as wrongful. You know, you have no basis for the patent infringement claim, but you forward that complaint instead of a demand letter, all of a sudden you're not a target. The person is not a target underneath the statute. And I don't think that's necessarily the intent, but that seems to be the effect of the amendment. So I'd urge a no vote.
Chairman Zwanitzer, Dan, for your first time on Division 1A.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been in this body a long time, and the former chairman of my committee of corporations, who also was an attorney, used to say, I have friends who are attorneys who like this amendment. I now seem to have friends who are attorneys who don't like this amendment, and I'm going to vote with my friends. But... and I'd ask you to vote with your friends as well, although I may not have as many attorney friends by this afternoon as I started with this morning. So I'll let the country attorney and the city attorney who are lining up the mics further debate the amendment. But I was asked to bring the amendment on behalf of other attorneys. So vote your will.
Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Oh, so tempting. I'm supporting the division, and rising against my desk mate. I think that's a good cleanup, because if you do file a lawsuit, and if that lawsuit is frivolous, there are other repercussions for filing a frivolous lawsuit. And so I think this is a good cleanup. We're trying to look at, you know, what is criminal activity, and that's you know, a demand letter threatening a lawsuit. And if you go to the step of actually filing a lawsuit, there are protections in place for frivolous lawsuits once that's filed. So I actually like the amendment, and I would encourage you to vote in favor of it.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 1A? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, you have the last word.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And my good deskmate has the right to be misguided every once in a while, and I guess this might be one of those cases. And there is, in fact, at least in theory, a remedy if you file a frivolous lawsuit, but it's almost never utilized. You can almost never get it enforced. And it doesn't include the same sort of penalties and remedies, the same disincentive as we have in this bill, because in this bill, what we have is very specific provisions that talk about, I think it's an attorney's fees, it's three times attorney's fees or the damages, whichever is less. And so there are very clear provisions in here that make it a lot easier to establish that you've been hurt by one of these lawsuits, and you have very specific requirements of enforcement. Whereas if you just file a frivolous lawsuit, there's what are called Rule 11 proceedings, which, you know, courts are notoriously reluctant to impose. And so I think you really do eliminate some of the spirit of the bill by shaving off that portion of filing a lawsuit. So, again, urge your no vote.
We're voting on Division 1A, consisting of lines 1 through 4 of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 65. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed,
no.
Division 1A has failed. We're now on Division 1B, consisting of lines 5 through 24 of second reading amendment number 1. Chairman Zwanitzer, Dan.
Again, Mr. Chief, I think I explained this last time. What we're taking out is Romanet 5 on page 4, lines 16 and 17, and then the phrase "should have known" on line 19 and put "believed." And I hope that isn't controversial and would call for the question and ask you to vote in favor of this amendment.
Question being called. We're voting on Division 1B, consisting of lines 5 through 24 of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 65. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Division 1B has passed. We're now on Division 2, consisting of lines 25 and 26 of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 65. Chairman Zwanitzer, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'm going to ask you to vote no on Division 2. This is on page 8, line 16, where the words "the Attorney General or any district attorney may on behalf of the state bring an action." There was some concern allowing any district attorney the possibility, and they wanted to clean it up by just putting the Attorney General. Now talking to other attorneys, there's a possibility we should make it every county attorney, and so I'm pretty sure we're going to have a third reading amendment on this that involves another public policy debate. But for this time, I would just like this amendment removed, and we'll try to find a compromise for third reading.
We're voting on Division 2, consisting of lines 25 and 26, the second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 65. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed,
no.
Division 2 fails. Senate File 65, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 75. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 75 from Senator Hicks, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
Senate File 75, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration, Senate File 89. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 89 from Senator Perkins, an act relating to labor and employment.
Senate File 89, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections, so ordered. Next file for our consideration, Senate File 90. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 90 from Senator Cooper, an act relating to game and fish licenses.
Senate File 90, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections, so ordered. We're now on that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the third reading consent list consisting of the following bills, Senate File 15, 30, 38, and 45.
Does anyone wish to have any of those bills removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll. Whoa. The reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File 15 from Statewide Education, an act relating to Hathaway Scholarship Program, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 30 from the Management Council, an act relating to elections, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 38 from Corporations, an act relating to administration of government, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 45 from Labor, an act relating to rural health care districts, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Now, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen,
aye.
Baker,
aye.
Baldwin,
aye.
Barlow,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blackburn,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Escobel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
yes.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz, Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to Senate File 15, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to Senate File 30, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Steinmetz? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 no. As to Senate File 38, are there any changes? Halverson? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 no. As to Senate File 45, are there any changes? Kasparik, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill Senate Files 15, 40, 15, 30, 38, and 45 have passed the House. We're now on that order of business of bills on regular third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 37. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 37 from corporations, an act relating to boards and commissions, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pursuant to the rule number that I can't remember right now, I would like to request that we lay this back for a day so I can take another look at that amendment. It's kind of complicated. Rule 7-3. Thank you.
Rule 7-3.
-3.
Pursuant to Rule 7-3, Senate File 37 is laid back one day. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 40. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 40 from Appropriations, an act relating to abandoned mine land funds, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
You ready? Where is he? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 40 and ask for your favorable consideration on this. Folks, there's a lot of different issues with what this my amendment brings. And I have to say that I spent, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours yesterday and this morning trying to understand what the taste that's bitter in your mouth creek project that we're talking about and the roughly $7 million that's being requested as part of this request. And there are lots of interesting components about it. But my first thought is, I'm looking around and go, how many of you know what we're talking about here? How many of you know where this creek is at? How many of you know what the $3.8 million is for? How many of you know the history of Bitter Creek? And back in 1924 when they diverted this stream and how far they diverted it and what was an old riverbed, was it a new riverbed? And all of those questions. And the answer is that, well, I sure didn't know. And so I started doing a little homework on it. And honestly, this is a beautiful, beautiful project. It really is. But I can tell you that based upon my research, about 90% of this whole project is a beautification project to go through downtown the city of the Springs. And it's I've got the reconstruction plan right here. I've got the bidding documents here and here, and I'm walking through each of the steps of it. And my goodness, if I lived in that community, I'd be jumping up and down and supporting this, because all of a sudden the legislature is paying for everything that they want without even knowing what you're bidding on, or what you're arguing for, where the money's going to go, and what it's for. And there's so let's back up a little bit. So if you have a project in your hometown, what do you do? You come and take it to the legislature, or you go to the SLID board or to the Community Development Authority, and you lay out your plan, and you say this is a good idea and this is a bad idea, and you vet out what you're doing. Well, this amendment, this project, hasn't done that. None of you know what we're talking about. And regardless of the quality and the value of this to that community, how can you sit and give $7 million to something that you don't understand? And why wouldn't it be matching funds? Why wouldn't you say, hey, we really like you to come in and help us in our community, and we'll match it. You know, we'll do fundraisers. We'll do this. We'll do that. This is a blind side that lands in our laps. And honestly, I think the reason this thing got supported is not because of the project. It's because of you got AML dollars out there, and not everyone agrees with how we're spending it or how we're allocating where it's going. So it's more of a negative vote than a positive vote. And so, I can go through all the history that I've learned in the last 24 hours. And it's interesting because there's a couple different creeks that flow into this stream. And so the flooding issues aren't just Bitter Creek, the creek called Bitter. There are other creeks that come into it, and they did some reconstruction back in 2011 and 2012. The floodplain now is within the channel itself. There's lots of interesting things about this. And I would love to find a way to help the city of the Rocks to get this project done and to assist them with funds. But not on a last-minute call to come in when we don't know what we're paying for. And the reclamation components, actually, are pretty good. And there's some nice components to it. And I'm not saying that you should support every decision we're making on AML expenditures, but I think we should only approve things that we fully have vetted, we fully understand, and that that's our job, that's our function. Our function isn't to vote yes when we don't know something. Our jobs are to vote no when we don't know enough about it. And it's a great project, and brought back in the right scenario, I think we can help them. And my guess is the SLID board can help, and there's lots of different ways to do it. So anyway, that's my soapbox for the day. So on and for the amendment.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, and I don't want to belabor this issue, but there's a lot of documentation the city's gone through and plan and design. If any of you are interested, I'm going back home this weekend. I'll bring the reams of paper that talk about this and the study and the history. The department's done a number of studies on this. There has been reclamations done on creeks that drain into this. It's one piece of the puzzle. But just briefly, if you will, there's a handout in your box. It's ENO in the right upper right corner of the first document. That has six different pages on it. The first two pages you'll see are the federal language for the legislation that passed that the great senator spoke about briefly, that transportation bill. And how this worked is the other senator was able to conference this in, and it was able to make it through the two bodies. But you'll see on page two of that, it says lines one through five, there's two installments of $82,700,000. And there's two separate installments of $38,250,000. So the two installments of the $82 million are the prior balance, and the two installments of the $38.2 million are the reclamation dollars. Now, what I want you to do is just briefly turn back to the front page, and the lines 14, 15, and 16. And I love our staff. I love the fact that it's nonpartisan. I love the fact that we can go there and we can get answers, and they'll tell you regardless of what they think about your project. They'll give you the truth about the issue. And really, the real truth of this is, and I don't know how many of you knew this or not, but if you look at lines 14 through 16, it said certain payments required. And then here's that language, notwithstanding. And we've talked about that a number of different times in this body and in appropriations. And that notwithstanding language right there removes any requirements. So this is notwithstanding the federal requirements for the Abandoned Mine Reclamation Fund. Notwithstanding any other provision of this act. So just to break it down in layman terms, we could use this money on Tinker Toys if we want to. We don't have to go through the DEQ and go through this process. All we have to do is apply. And really any application that we submit is going to be accepted because it says notwithstanding any provisions of this act. So I think that the original bill, you'll see a couple other amendments where I think that we do a little bit of cleanup language having to do with, the difference between beautification and reclamation and those sorts of things. And then there's a technical correction in one of the amendments as well. But you'll see those coming up. But really, we could spend this money however we want. So next is page 3 there, and it's a memorandum, and 3 and 4 that we have there. And it's a memorandum, and another great opportunity for me to speak highly of the way our process works. The interns provided a brief summary. And you know, the previous speaker said that this is a project no one really knows about. No, that's really not accurate, I don't think, because there's reams of paper. And trust me, I can bring you documents and engineering studies and history and piles and piles of paper. But I'm in the same boat you're in, and I know that none of us are really going to read it anyway. So I didn't bother to do that, and I don't want to waste the trees either or the paper. So, you know, if you do have specific questions about the project, please come ask me. Don't just let this idea of no one knows what's going on and it hasn't been vetted just go up in the air and settle in, because it's really not true. It's been vetted very thoroughly. But it just talks about this creek, and one of the legislators spoke with me this morning, and he asked a question. He said, well, was the creek rerouted before or after the mining? Because in his mind that makes a difference. And the answer to that is the creek was rerouted after the mining started. It wasn't rerouted prior to the mining starting. So I know that that makes a difference in some people's minds, but it does make a difference in my mind also, because the mining started and then the creek was rerouted to prevent further flooding and damage to their mine and their tracks. Okay, so it's if you follow the history, it's a long history, and it's not just something on. I mean, we spoke about this last year, so all of you are somewhat aware of the project. Lastly, I do want to walk you through the other pages here. Page 5, it's the cost breakdown of the project, and we spoke about this briefly. But this project, the analysis is from 2012. So in my amendment, there's been a little bit of availability for the cost of increased in the cost of materials that might come about. But you'll see there items number 19 through 27 and 51 through 58. Those are all items that the city has identified as beautification as opposed to reclamation. And I do have an amendment coming that only allows this money to be spent for reclamation as opposed to beautification. It's a very small amount of the total. I've gone through and added it up. It's roughly $630,000 of the whole project. And, I just want to point one other thing out. The idea of this dog park, the dog park already exists. There's nothing in here to build a dog park. What they're wanting to do is they wanted to build a pedestrian walkway over the Bitter Creek from the dog park to one of our main streets in town so that people didn't have to walk a mile around to get back on the main street. So I just wanted to point that out, that the city has identified the reclamation aspect and the beautification aspect, and we pulled those out. And lastly, the last page there, you'll see our statute. It's statute 3511 1202, and it's a state reclamation plan. And I just wanted you to have this access to this and have you in front of you. Have it in front of you so you could just reference really what the requirements are for qualifying for a project. But as I said, I mean, because of the way the legislation was written, we could buy Tinker Toys with this money if we wanted to. All we have to do is just apply. There's no specifications on it. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, not really against the project. We should have brought this request for funds to fix maybe some things from the past years ago when we had a lot of extra money. But frankly, I would think probably every one of our communities has a project that could use funding like this if we wanted to go after it. I can think one in my town that goes back 60 years when our federal government decided to put a uranium mill at the confluence of the Big Wind and the Little Wind, you know, right in between them in the sandbar. It makes no technical sense, and we're still having problems with that and with our friends across the river. So, we could use a little help there, too, you know, moving people out, cleaning up the water. Again, just think about the project in your community could use this money right now. So on and for the amendment.
Representative Blake.
On and against, Mr. Speaker, on and against this amendment. They've been mining coal a little longer than that 60 years that was just referenced in the county where I reside. It says 1862. That's a little bit before statehood. So on and against this amendment, and there's some another great amendment coming up. So I'd say vote no on this one. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment, and really just in concert with my fellow member of JEC that sponsors the amendment. And, you know, as I started looking in and doing some of the research, knowing that we haven't had any committee hearings on this, we haven't had any testimony on this, as I went back, and I just want to make sure that I'm not operating on bad information, but it looked to me like there had already been AML monies put into this project, $4.5 million in an award in 2008 that went to the construction of detention basins, that went to other construction to eliminate the floodplain, and that accomplished removing the majority of these areas from the floodplain. And then the information I also saw indicated that this project is only at 25% design, which leads me to wonder, do we really have any firm handle on what these ultimate costs are? Or if we approve this, are we going to be back here looking at yet more appropriations into this project because we've already started putting money into it? And those are the things that really need to be, I think, vetted out through a committee process, through people looking closely at these expenditures, which again, hasn't been done. So I just think that's probably the better process to go through, and I'd urge an eye on the amendment.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, my family has lived in the city of the Rocks, as it was called, since the 1880s. I'm the only heretic that moved 15 miles west. And I hate to say it, but when I was growing up and going to my grandparents' house, I was playing in the creek, so to speak. Coming back and saying, no, I wasn't there with the polywogs and everything else coming out of my pockets. The abandoned mine lands was set up to mitigate damage done by mining. And anybody who has lived in the city of the Rocks knows that the creek that runs through town was very important to mining in that area. And it was used to drain the mines. It was called the Springs with a plural. And what happened was there was abundant springs all over the area until we started to do mining. And what happened with that mining is that they went into the aquifers and they disrupted the groundwater. So what they did is that they put giant pumps in and they were draining the mines so that they could get to the face to where they could mine the coal. And as they put vast amounts of water pressure on there, it it seeped out the creek. And when they were starting to put out all this water, all of a sudden it endangered other mines. So they had to move the creek to where that they didn't threaten what was going on. It's a lot more complicated than what I just said, but that's the basic diagram of what's going on. The notion that this is not mining related is foreign to people who lived where the water is sweet. This is a reclamation project. The amendment that's coming out is going to take out of the cultural enhancements. And what we're trying to do is avoid a catastrophe. The speaker before me was right on. There are several creeks in there. There have also been several basins that have put in to avoid flooding. This is an ongoing program. It's going to need a lot more. This is a good first step, and actually it isn't a first step, but it has to go forward. And since the money was designed to mitigate coal mining, it only seems appropriate that the money should come from the AL Mill funds. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment, this is a big issue, and it affects a lot of people, but so does everything else that we do, and I'm just uncomfortable with having this come and the way we're trying to finance it. It all sounds good, but that isn't how we usually do things like this. This is a lot of money, and it's from a source that is not for sure even going to be around. And with that, I would urge your aye vote for the amendment.
Representative Yeagy, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would call your attention to a handout that is in your box. Looks like this one. It is House Bill 96, Senate File 40. This just shows, yesterday there was a little bit of, you know, where's the money, where's our AML money coming from, going, and this one shows you the $76.5 million that is going right into the AML funds, and then the 165.4, and there is a mistake on here that I forgot when LSO did this. I forgot to cross off this million in the bottom box on the left side. That's 1,729. That is not million. That should just be 1,729. Whatever. So that just kind of clears up a little bit of where this funds are coming from. And this study or this project has been studied and studied both by our state and by federal organizations. We have come and asked for money for this project before. We did get some money, or the past folks have got some money and done part of the project, but this is a big, long project. And the idea that why don't we ask for matching funds? We do a lot of things without matching funds in here, so I don't think that really needs to be in this mix. We've brought it before, we've asked, hasn't been done. Now, good representative is bringing it again, and I think this qualifies every bit of what the AML money's for. The studies have been done, so it's not a new thing, and those that have been around have heard about the project in this city for a long time. So I'm definitely against this amendment and for allowing this project to continue moving on with the funds that we've received for projects just exactly like this. Thank you.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of this amendment, I just point out that in this bill, all the money is just dedicated to general ideas, whether it be air quality or land quality or solid waste. And if a project, an individual project like this needs to go forward, it needs to go forward through those funds once they reach the state abandoned mine land reclamation account and fund. They don't need to be spelled out directly in a bill like this. So on and in favor of this amendment.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, I can't imagine a more worthy project. This is a project that involves people and businesses, and this should be a number one priority for this abandoned mine lands funding. Vote no on the amendment.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would also urge you to vote no on the amendment. You know, there are a lot of things happening in this bill and in the CAPCON bill that comes next. And, you know, part of the reversions of our ALMO money is going to construct various construction projects in the next bill. So I don't think it's inappropriate in any way, shape, or form to spend some of the AML money on damage caused by abandoned mining operations. That is entirely consistent with the purpose of these funds. And as we've discussed before, there is probably no county in the state that has suffered more long-term consequences from historic mining practices than our neighbors in the land of sweet water. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman, for your first time.
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. As I said yesterday, I appreciate the work that the member from Sweetwater is doing. And in all reality, he's probably moving this money from one project in Sweetwater County to another project. I mean, that's really, if you look at the priorities and what's going to be funded. So I don't want to get into that. What I do want to address is the last statement about some of the capital construction money is funded from reversions of AML dollars. I will tell you that those are general fund dollars. That's already happened, what we propose in this AML. So there are not AML dollars in the CAPCON bill. They are general fund dollars that are reverting from projects. I want to be very clear about the language we use when we and how these funds are characterized in debate. So I just wanted to clear that up. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Slots are still available. Chairman Swanser Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First for a second.
Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Swanser Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for that brief moment. I just wanted to do some research. And I think when we think about CAMELS and water system projects, that part of that funding came out of this exact AML funding for a particular city. So I would just like to keep that in mind as we vote yes or no on this particular amendment. And, again, we'll have a couple more shots with the other amendments coming forward. But it's not an abusive way to fund one particular community for a project that they desperately need.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to dispel this fact that appropriations doesn't know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. And that was just a joke, actually. I don't know how many of you watched the debates, but it was a joke. It's tough going tit for tat against the appropriations. They spend a lot of time looking over these bills and looking over the budgets and doing going through this. I just want to correct a couple things and then we can move on. This project is more than 25% designed. It's a four-phase project with the first phase, which is funded in this one, 100% designed. So that's what we're doing. We're moving forward with the construction on the first phase. The second, third, and fourth phase are the ones that are 25% designed. So the first phase of the project is 100% designed. I just want to make sure that we're clear on that. We're voting to start the construction on the first phase, and then design out the remainder of the phrases or the phases. And then I want to touch on one other thing too. Two other things actually. One being that the design and the topography of this area, there are a number of creeks that flow into this. One of them being Dead Horse Creek, which is a creek that we have appropriated money out of this body, and the legislature has appropriated money, AML money, towards this project to try to move forward with reclaiming and addressing some of the issues that are associated with the whole area. And that's why I discussed yesterday, if the chairman was in the community or if any of you are in the community, I'd love to just point out the topography, because it's really complex, actually. It's not just the idea of, oh, here's this line on the map. It's pretty complex and the issues associated with it. And then lastly, the idea that this hasn't been vetted through a committee, I would contend that a number of things that we do have never been vetted through committee. We've spent on tranches. We've spent money with first and second tranche and third tranche, and that stuff's never gone through committee. We've done golf courses, and we've done buildings, and we've done facilities all throughout the state that have never been properly, unquote, vetted through the committee process. So on and against the amendment, let's just stand strong. I think this is the right thing to do.
Chairman Lockhart, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the things that was just said is a concern to me also. They've got a lot of effort put into this thing, but it's about 25% of what they think it might be, and those things have a way of getting out of hand. I would think that we need to know what is the full cost of this before we commit this much money towards a project that is still in the development stage.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to help flesh out this a little bit. So in 2007, they got a $4.5 million grant to do the Bitter Creek Reconstruction and Evaluation Plan, and it's a 3.5-mile renovation of downtown Rock Springs. And then they broke that into four segments. And what we're doing here is we're financing the first smaller segment of the project, which is about $3.8 million, based upon a study that was done in 2011. And then there's three more project segments after that, and all of those are actually more extensive and more expensive. And back in 2007, the estimated price of all this thing was right around $70 to $80 million to do all these projects. And what's interesting is a lot of it is purchasing land from the adjacent landowners and acquiring easements so they can do a parkway and a walkway through downtown. And it's an amazing, wonderful project. And we used our AML dollars to put this together. And so my question was, well, what is the town of the City of the Rocks done since 2008, 2012 to self-initiate and put all these projects into place? And the answer is, well, not a whole lot. And I wish we could give matching dollars, and I wish we could help establish this project to send it off. But I'm looking at the bid documents for the segment one, this first component of it, and it consists of a parking lot, pedestrian bridge, asphalt walk, and 2,200 feet of road. So what they're doing is they're taking an adjacent road and moving it away from the current stream channel and putting in a new road. So that's part of what the first bid is for the $3.8 million. And so then if you go in and if you look at the – and if you get on the website, you can find the whole project. And so I'm looking at a document that I printed off last night from the – for what the whole ambition and goal of this was. And so I can just tell you what. One of them was eliminating costs of flood insurance premiums for residents in the town. Well, actually, they did that. They went and they, by rechanneling and putting up a couple reservoirs up above town, they took 500 residential and commercial properties that were in the street, were in the floodplain, which they are no longer. And so they got a letter from the from FEMA that said they've accomplished that. So then, what was the other goals? Creating an environmentally and aesthetically pleasing stream system through the city. Improving connectivity and enhancing the city's existing trails and parkway systems. Developing new pedestrian trails for recreational use. So this is what this project is, and I think it's a beautiful project. But how do you, why are you taking my word for it? Why are you taking the good gentleman's from Sweetwater, from the land of the Sweetwaters perspective on this? My whole point is that we should vote for things we know about and we understand and we know it's the right thing to do. We don't know about this project because this is an amendment that comes in and lands in our lap, and we have to make the call. And, you know, I can flip through the 60 pages. Last night I was reading the 302-page master plan. And I'll just give you a little bit of it. The plan says we're transforming a long-neglected ecosystem eyesore on the green corridor that links neighborhoods and downtown and provides pleasant, inviting pathway systems. That's what we're doing here. And so the question is, is this the best use of the money, and is this what we've all thought about and talked about, and what we've designed? You know, we got a bill coming up shortly. About last year, we put $5 million into a to slow down rail cars that come through town, and there's $2.1 million in that account that hasn't been used. The Department of Transportation is out trying to find places to spend that money. I suggest we take that money and match it for granting funds in this community and let them go after it. I mean, there's money right there. But there's other ways to do this, and, it, you know, they tie it up and we all talk here and put it in a bow and say this is a great thing. But honestly, folks, we got to vote for and do what we know and understand, and as opposed to just what I say and what someone else says at these podiums. And use our best judgment. So I'm in favor of the amendment.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House to Senate File 40. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, all in favor, please stand. All opposed, please stand. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 40 has failed. We're now on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 40. Representative Blake.
Mr. Speaker, I withdraw third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 40.
Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 40 has been withdrawn. We're now on third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 40. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move lines 7 through 34 of third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 40 and withdraw lines 1 through 6. And basically, what this is doing is it's addressing some of the concerns that were brought up to me in discussion over the last 24 hours. It's ensuring that the city only uses money for reclamation, so the beautification aspect of putting a pedestrian bridge across the creek is going to have to be paid for by the city on their dime. It's the other thing is lines 10 through 17 is actually just a technical correction. You'll see that the $69 million on the second reading amendment was actually $68 million, so it's just a technical correction. So really there's no reason not to pass this because it does the same thing that the second reading amendment did, just ensuring those there is no, if you look at line 33 and 34, I heard the concerns and I agreed with them. None of this money will be used to acquire private land, so that's been taken out of the bill. There will be no acquisition of private land. There will be only, this will only be used for reclamation, and no beautification will be used. These funds will not be used for beautification at all. So if the city wants to plant trees along with correcting the issues with reclamation, it's on their dime. So I appreciate your support of it.
The chair rules that the amendment is divisible, and lines 1 through 6 have been withdrawn. So we are on the balance of third reading amendment number 3, which is lines 7 through 34. Anyone for their first time? Question being called. We're voting on lines 7 through 34 of third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 40. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That passes. Senate File 40, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Allen.
No.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Eklund. Escobel. Escobel. Freeman.
Aye.
Gay. Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings. Kasparic. Kasparic.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart. Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
no.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pennell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters, Winters, Winters excused. Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Allen, no to aye. Harshman, aye to no. Eklund, no to aye. Zwanitzer Dan, no to aye. Campbell, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 5 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 40, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 40 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 42. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Senate File 42, Corporations, an act relating to professions and occupations, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There are amendments. Chairman Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1, the Senate File 42, and ask for its favorable introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, those of us who have been here for a while have seen this before. We have some federal law that sometimes conflicts with some of our practice acts in regards to substance abuse. And so this was brought to me at the behest of multiple attorneys trying to better the bill. But basically this says that the substance abuse we're defining in 351613 has to impair the ability to safely provide occupational therapy. So if they get arrested or have a problem with a substance abuse which doesn't impair their ability, they may partake in something over the weekend, they haven't seen any patients in 3 days, that's the kind of thing that gets us in trouble with some other federal statutes. And so I would ask for your favorable vote and would happy to answer any questions.
Anyone for the first time? Question being called. We're voting on third reading amendment number one to Senate File 42. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one to Senate File 42 has passed. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number two to House Bill 42, and I will withdraw it at the appropriate time. And I just want to address the whole subject, the big picture of occupational licensing. Simply put, it's government permission to work in a particular field. It makes sense, and I was on my hospital's credentialing committee for many years, to examine the credentials, the education of physicians and surgeons, people who prescribe drugs and cut into us. But to earn a license, an aspiring worker must clear various hurdles, such as earning a certain amount of education or training or passing an exam. In the 1950s, only 1 in 20 U.S. workers needed the government's permission to pursue their chosen occupation. Today, that figure stands at almost 1 in 3. These laws pose substantial barriers to those seeking work or those pursuing entrepreneurship. Laws like this hinder both job attainment and creation, and are particularly onerous on low and moderate income occupations. When this bill was introduced, a speaker warned that we must pass it so people won't get hurt. I don't think a license to work issued by the state prevents harm. We've just voted to license investment advisors, people who tell us to buy low and sell high. What's the state's liability when an investor loses money? We just voted to license pharmacy benefit managers. This bill, House Bill 42, makes three in one 20-day session. Wyoming once held the title of the state with the fewest occupations, fewest states requiring occupational licensing. The state of islands in the middle of the Pacific has the most burdensome average requirements for occupations, while the state with the city of brotherly love has the lightest. They now have the title for having the least restrictions to work. Most unlicensed occupations are practiced somewhere without government permission and without widespread harm. For instance, 10 states require 4 months or more of training for a manicurist, whereas Alaska requires 3 days. The difficulty of entering an occupation often does not line up with the public health or safety risks it poses. For example, 66 occupations have greater average licensure burdens than emergency medical technicians. The average cosmetologist spends 372 days in training, the average EMT only 33. Such inconsistencies around the country give us good reason to doubt that many licensing schemes are necessary. These inconsistencies may reflect not the relative public health and safety risks of occupations, but instead the lobbying prowess of practitioners in securing laws to shut out competition. As millions of Americans struggle to find productive work, one of the quickest ways legislators could help would be to reduce or remove needless licensure burdens. Let's start here and now. Let's defeat this bill. I ask your aye vote on the amendment.
Representative Lindholm, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the 63rd, I am on and for this amendment against the bill, but for very much different reasons. This board already exists. So by defeating this bill, you're not going to end up getting rid of this bureaucracy level, this licensure. And I'm one of those individuals that does have a license to work in my specific trade. But the reason I'm against this piece of legislation is because we worked this over the interim, and we worked it and we worked it and we added more and we added more because the board requested more and more and more because they couldn't just quite get it right. And as you can see, this piece of legislation in front of you is a blue copy, which means they couldn't just get it right. And over on the House committee, we couldn't just get it right. We had to add more. So, ladies and gentlemen of the 63rd, I would ask you to vote down this bill because I honestly believe we're going to see more and more and more. Let's let the board have another interim to go through this, and maybe, hopefully, we can get it right this time to amend their powers in their board. Thank you.
Chairman Swanser, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment for the bill, as my good committee member just stated, this is not a new licensing as we did with investment advisors. We are just updating the license for occupational therapists. And I can appreciate the good concerns from the legislator from Western Wyoming. And there are probably some things we license that I think are kind of silly myself. But just to give you a few, and you can decide for yourselves, you know, what is important to license and what's not. In this state, in Title 33, we license abstractors, accountants, architects, attorneys, carnivals, circuses, barbers, podiatrists, chiropractors, collection agencies, dance hall operators, debt adjusters, dental hygienists, embalmers, undertakers, hotel keepers, junk dealers, junkyard control operators, no idea what those are, but I'm sure they're important, transient merchants, nurses, nursing home administrators, optometrists, pharmacists, physical therapists, physicians, psychologists, surveyors, veterinarians, warehousemen, eye care practitioners, speech pathologists, hearing specialists, EMTs, radiological technicians. Many of you will remember we license water well drillers, for those of you who are here in 09 through 012, athletic trainers, midwives, dietitians, and people who are in mixed martial arts. And that's just to name a few. And so we can go through, and anybody who wants to join the corporations committee, we always have a good time because we oversee all of these. And we can talk about what we should license and what we shouldn't. But I would recommend to you that this bill is not the place to start that conversation. Perhaps we should have done it on investment advisors, and I know we had that talk before adding a new licensure. But what we're doing here is updating a practice act that we haven't updated in 25 years. And it is timely. I guess I should do a mea culpa because the Board of Occupational Therapists came to the Corporations Committee last year in November, a year and, 16 months ago. Those of you in the general session remember that we had 28 committee bills in Corp. And they came and said, we really need to fix our Practice Act. And I said, no. You know, I'm the new chairman. I have 28 bills to get through. I cannot handle a Practice Act. And even though I said no, one of the other good representatives succumbed and brought the Practice Act anyway last year in general. And we looked at it. It wasn't quite perfect, and we held it to an interim. So we've spent now three meetings in interim, and I can appreciate that it wasn't spotless when it got here. I would argue some of that is due to our colleagues down the hall. There's a certain colleague who loves practice acts, and he finds things to amend into them all the time. And we will probably, I shouldn't talk about the other body. Anyway, I do believe that this has been vetted. We've worked on an interim. It's an update to an existing act after 25 years. Technology has changed. The practice has changed. You can see on page 2 and 3 of the bill how different the practice of occupational therapy is. We have one of our members who's going through these procedures currently. You can talk to him about all the great things he was sharing with me that occupational therapists do. But we have licensing for a reason, to have some type of regulation so people don't get hurt, because that's the society we live in here and now. So I would ask you to defeat the amendment, vote for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment and for this bill, the good chairman of corporations went through all a whole list of boards and commissions, and remember that these are folks that license and regulate themselves, and they charge fees to their members in order to be members. And again, they promulgate their own rules and regulations, and they discipline themselves. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. State involvement is at a minimum. But I am very much in favor of this particular practice act, in good part because occupational therapy is a health profession. It's an important health profession. It has, to me, an odd name because you think of it about training for work. But that's not it at all. Occupational therapy is about fine and gross motor development and techniques in order for an individual to be able to kind of work in the world, and that includes children. My son, for example, received OT services from pre-K through about eighth grade, and it was incredibly valuable for him in order to function in the world. So for me, another element that's important is that we only train occupational therapy aides in Wyoming. We don't train occupational therapists. And so we need a practice act in order to be clear what is needed and necessary in order to bring that credential to Wyoming and know that these are very well-paid healthcare professionals, but they need to be able to understand what we want in Wyoming versus Colorado or Wisconsin or wherever they're coming from. So an updated Occupational Therapy Act, I think, is crucial for, in fact, getting us the best and brightest OTs that we want in this state. So, again, on and against the amendment and for the bill.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just real quickly, on and for the amendment and against the bill for most of the reasons that my good colleague from District 1 already spoke about. This isn't particularly having to do with this bill itself, but just I recognize there is already a board created for this, in light of the good chairman of corporations giving his testimony on occupational therapists bringing this, or asking for it rather. But I think that we do have too many boards out there. I think that we are too stringent on our licensing requirements, and I think that we should look at very carefully at how many of these we really need to have. So on and against the bill for the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I just wanted to say, philosophical arguments aside, this piece of legislation isn't ready to be passed out and added to our statutes. My dad always told me, you ever make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, this is still a sow's ear. So let's go back. Let's relook at it in the interim. Let's get a piece of legislation that actually is worthy of our statute. Thank you.
Chairman Swanister, Dan.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I would push back. The current statute is not worthy of this body. So, I mean, you could have concerns with the 25 pages in here. I didn't actually hear any specific concerns on what it was, but I would certainly guarantee you what's in this act, even if it's not perfect, is better than the law we have in the books from 1991. And so if the Committee on Interim Topics on Monday wishes to go back and spend another year making this better, we can certainly do that. But it's not a new statute. We're amending a 25-year-old statute, and the practice has changed. So I would ask you to defeat the amendment, vote for this bill, and if you want to see it again next year, those of you who come back, hope you have fun.
Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I withdraw my amendment.
Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 42 has been withdrawn. Senate File 42 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton. Edmonds,
no.
Edwards,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Escobel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
nope.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff. Pieperinen.
No.
Pinnell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Excuse.
Throne excused. Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters excused. Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Blackburn. No. Aye to no. Miller. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 35 aye, 23 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 42, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 42 has passed the House. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Friends, before we run off for lunch or do the next bill, if you could look in your stack of papers, it might be buried among your AML documentation or, I don't know, I found mine kind of buried in among the pencils. But you will find a sheet that says memorandum, and this is your bill for the courtesy fund. Just a reminder, we've been the beneficiaries of some nice food, not too extravagant, but nice food out in the lunchroom, that pizza that one time. There's a small fee for the interns, the courtesy charge that covers throughout the whole year if we need to send cards or flowers, people are sick or family members pass away or something like that, and then your share of the leadership gifts. If you're in leadership, hopefully your paper doesn't include that. For most of you, your total amount will be $93. And please pay that by the second to the pages. The checks should be made out to the House Courtesy Fund. And, again, your piece of paper will document all the components. Don't make us go around and chase after you. We are responsible adult members of the state of Wyoming and the legislature, and we will pay what we owe. Thank you.
Chairman Zwanitzer Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, would like to re-refer Senate File 72 to your committee number 2 by request.
Without objection, Senate File 72 is re-referred to committee number 2, Appropriations. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 57. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 57 from Labor, an act relating to public health and safety, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There are amendments. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the House. We pulled an amendment yesterday to this bill and is hoping to, in an effort to get the amendment corrected in a way that really addresses the problem that we're dealing with on these freestanding emergency medical centers. And we will end up dividing yet this amendment here in a little bit to make one final correction. But in essence, the biggest concern we had is on page 2 under C there, where it talks about a freestanding medical center and the people that they should serve and what come into play that the hospitals brought to our attention, because we're wanting the hospitals to have an agreement with these freestanding emergency medical centers, is the EMTALA Act, the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act, which is a statute that governs when and how a patient must be examined and offered treatment and transferred from one hospital or emergency or to another. And so that's what we, at one time we were too broad, the next time we were too narrow, and so basically what this amendment does and the language that we've added to it, the emergency medical center will enter into agreement to transfer patients to that particular hospital within a 150-mile radius, and that hospital will, because of their requirements to comply with EMTALA, will then have that requirement with the freestanding emergency medical center. So with that said, I think we have a division.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to take your amendment. I'm going to divide the amendment. I'd like to divide Division 1 being Lines 1 and 2 and 6 through 18. Lines 1 and 2 and 6 through 18, Division 1. Lines 3 through 5, Division 2.
The chair rules that is divisible. Which division would you wish to proceed on first?
Mr. Speaker, Division 1, 1 through 2, 6 through 18, I would encourage your aye vote.
Okay. Division 1 is lines 1 through 2 and 6 through 18. We're proceeding on Division 1. Anyone for their first time? You ready for the question? Oh, wait a minute. Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr.
For your first time on Division 1.
I would just like some clarification from the bringer of the amendment, because the way I read this, it would allow freestanding emergency centers to have the option to accept only the customers they choose to accept, for instance, people with insurance or the ability to pay, as opposed to all comers. Thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think, in fact, it's the opposite is true, and that's where we kind of, the hospitals were trying to get that language, as well as the department that oversees these, is that there's this federal act that requirements, that places requirements on who can do that. They called that act the Anti-Dumping Act, so that there was equality to people that needed help and could get it.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 1? Anyone for their second time on Division 1? Question being called. We're voting on Division 1, consisting of lines 1 and 2 and 6 through 18 of Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 57. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Division 1 passes. We're now on Division 2 of Third Reading Amendment Number 1, consisting of lines 3 through 5. Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this is it's really just a striking of one word, inserting of license to the state of Wyoming. But the striking of district is very is the wrong thing to do. If we would have said left district and added the rest of the language. So district is important. There are districts that may not have hospitals, even though by title you would think they would have a hospital. But there are districts that may not actually operate a hospital, but they would want the option to operate a freestanding emergency center. And so I would suggest that this should be voted, this second division of this amendment be voted down and go with the original language in the bill. Thank you.
Representative Larson Lloyd, for your first time.
Thank you, and I just extend my appreciation to the eagle eye of my good friend from up in the county of Cole catching this. This is just another one of Larson's faux pas here, and would encourage you to vote that down.
Anyone else? Question being called. We're voting on Division 2, consisting of lines 3, 4, and 5 of Third Reading Amendment Number 1, to Senate File 57. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no.
No.
Division 2 fails. Representative Blake. Third Reading Amendment Number 2. What's wrong? Their paper. It's not my fault. Yeah. Okay. There are no more amendments. So, Senate File 57, having been read three separate times, the question is, Shall the file pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay. Gay?
Excuse.
Gay excused. Greer. Greer?
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic. Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm. Lindholm? Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux. Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pennell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne, excused, Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Lindholm.
Excuse.
Lindholm excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 57 has passed the House. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House recess until 1:30.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We're in recess until 1:30.